Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Remember, coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll be asking our Jewish listeners, what's the fifth question? If you're going to a Passover Seder tonight, you know the traditional four questions. What's the fifth question that you would want to ask in 2009? And for Catholics and others observing Lent, what did you give up for Lent? Was it anything specific to life in 2009? Post your answers right now on our website, and we'll talk about them later on. Jews, what's the fifth Passover question for 2009? Christians, what did you give up for Lent? That fits the times. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. We'll read some of your answers in about 20 minutes. But right now, the investigation into Bernard Madoff's Ponzi scheme is expanding. Earlier this week, New York Attorney General Andrew Cuomo charged local financier J. Ezra Merkin with, quote, civil fraud for steering $2.4 billion to Madoff without telling investors. Cuomo's complaint quotes one investor who called Merkin a glorified mailbox. Joining me now is reporter Amir Efrati. He's been following the story for The Wall Street Journal. Amir Efrati, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks very much for having me.
So J. Ezra Merkin ran a fund or a series of funds that allegedly existed to funnel money to Madoff?
Right. He ran several funds for many years. One was kind of exclusively geared to steering money to Mr. Madoff's firm, and the question is whether the investors in those funds were told that a good chunk of the money or all the money was going to Madoff's firm. But we have to remember here that the charges against him, I mean, this is basically he's being sued by the state of New York. This is not, these aren't criminal charges by any stretch.
Well, what's the difference? I'm sure a lot of listeners would be confused by that notion of the state attorney general bringing civil charges as opposed to criminal charges. What really is the difference?
Well, the Attorney General of New York actually has a very unique law called the Martin Act, and it's a very broad securities fraud law, and he can use it criminally and he can use it in a civil way just to file lawsuits to sue people, just like the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, files lawsuits. They sue people. They don't take people and try to put them in jail. They sue people, and they often work with the Justice Department. So the New York Attorney General, Elliot Spitzer, before Andrew Cuomo, now Andrew Cuomo, have used this law to sue people for alleged securities fraud, and that's what's happening here. They're essentially seeking to get back a lot of the money that Mr. Merkin made over the years, all the fees that he took in for managing people's money. And again, the claim is that the investors that were with him didn't know or were not told or were not given enough disclosures about where the money was going and how it was being handled.
So Merkin's clients didn't know that they were being invested with Madoff?
That's the allegation. The New York Attorney General took in and interviewed a lot of the investors, and a good deal of them said that they had no idea that that some or even all of the money that they were giving to Mr. Merkin was going to Madoff. And again, we need to remember that the allegations against Merkin are not that he knew that Madoff was committing any fraud. It has nothing to do with that. And that's going to be the key here. Are there going to be more people who are charged with actual knowledge of fraud by Madoff? We haven't seen that yet. And there's no reason to think that those charges won't come. And there are plenty of people still in the picture who are being investigated by the Justice Department in a criminal way. This would be the U.S. Attorney's Office here in Manhattan, and they're investigating this issue criminally and looking to bring criminal charges against people who may have been involved in the broader scheme.
But even if Merkin didn't know that Madoff was running a Ponzi scheme or anything illegal, the complaint from the state attorney general says that Merkin steered his fund's assets to Madoff in exchange for $470 million in fees. Is the allegation that that's some form of bribery or corruption, or is that just a business deal?
No. No, I don't think that there's any allegation that it's bribery. It's more, the allegation is more that, you know, Merkin not only steered the money to Madoff's firm without giving proper notice to all of his investors, but also didn't really look and see what was happening with the money, didn't do due diligence, if you will, and at the same time told his clients that he was checking up, that he was managing the funds very carefully. And, you know, the New York Attorney General suit says, no, they just sort of, Merkin just sort of put the money with Madoff and didn't do much checking on it. This is similar to a lawsuit that was brought last week by the Massachusetts securities regulator against Fairfield Greenwich, which was another feeder fund, so-called feeder fund, that put, I think, close to $7 billion worth of investor funds with Mr. Madoff. And the claims there are, again, very similar. The claims are not that Fairfield Greenwich, this fund, knew that there was fraud going on at Mr. Madoff's firm. It's just that they put a lot of money with Mr. Madoff, and they claimed to be checking up on it and doing a lot of due diligence when, according to the lawsuit filed against them by Massachusetts, they were not doing that.
We can take phone calls for Amir Efrati from The Wall Street Journal, covering the Madoff case, anything on the progression of the Madoff investigation. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post your question or comment to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show on the State Attorney General allegations against financier J. Ezra Merkin in relation to Madoff, or anything else in this expanding investigation. There are so many unanswered questions. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. You know, I'm curious, Amir, whether a professional money manager like this would typically do some kind of investigation into another fund who he puts money into. So, for example, a lot of these individuals who got defrauded by Madoff, you know, they're kind of regular folks. And if they get a statement and says the money is invested with this and that and it's making such and such returns, they go, oh, great. Well, that's what my statement says. Should somebody like J. Ezra Merkin have been expected to do something different or to see some kinds of fraud, some signs of fraud that other people don't see? Or what is due diligence?
Yeah, that's the point, right? You're giving money to a middleman who's then investing it for you. And, you know, sometimes you know a lot about where the money is going. Sometimes you don't know a lot. And this was a situation with Merkin where the funds that he was getting from his investors, you know, they basically consented to him doing, you know, whatever he wanted to do with it, sort of investing it at will. But, yeah, I think, you know, the documents that you know, someone like Merkin would give to his investors to look at before they invest with him say that, you know, I'm checking up on these investments very carefully. I'm, you know, looking at what's, you know, looking at the securities that I'm investing in and making sure that everything is kosher, that everything is working out, and, you know, making calls and looking at auditing statements and just making sure everything is as it should be. So, yeah, I mean, that's the issue, right? You know, if you're saying in a disclosure or if you're saying in a form, you know, a standardized form that you're giving to your investors before they sign up with you, that, you know, you are taking care of their money, there's a real question here about whether that was being done, whether there was really due diligence being done. And I think the New York Attorney General's argument is that Ezra Merkin kind of turned a blind eye and didn't really care what was happening with Madoff, and maybe didn't question him or, you know, make sure he knew what Madoff's strategy was, or make sure that he could verify that some of these trades were being made, when in fact we know now that many trades were not being made. You raise a very good point, and I think a lot of people are very disillusioned, obviously, with the entire financial system and very much questioning all these statements that they're getting every month and no longer believe that they can believe them.
It's another part of the opaque system that needs a lot more transparency now. But perhaps one of the most damning pieces of evidence against Merkin is that even though he's not charged with knowing that there was a Ponzi scheme on the part of Madoff or being a part of that, as he steered $2.4 billion of other investors' money to Madoff and collected $470 million of fees for himself from Madoff for doing so, he allegedly didn't invest much of his own money with Madoff. What do you make of that?
Right. I think you raise a very good point, and the New York Attorney General raises a good point. That's always something that, that you know, should this case go to trial, that's something that the New York Attorney General would raise and say, why didn't Merkin put in a lot of his money, you know, sort of backing this investment, especially if it was so good, right, and doing so well? Why wouldn't he put most of his money in it? So that is an interesting fact. I don't think we can say for sure what it means.
Right.
Obviously, if you are invested in something, if you're invested in Madoff in a substantial way, you know, it's possible that that you could argue that, you know, why would you have had any incentive to invest a good deal of your money with the firm if it was all a big fraud and could collapse in any moment? So I think you raise a good point.
And we should say allegedly. You can't say it enough in a case like that.
Right.
This, where there's just an allegation, it's not a conviction, and it's a civil suit to boot. What has been the Merkin response?
The Merkin response has been that, you know, he lost a lot of money himself. We just talked about that. That he feels that the Attorney General hastily put together this lawsuit to just get it out there without really making sure that the allegations were true. He says that that the investors were actually aware that the money was going to Madoff, and that the investors in all of the funds that Merkin was running authorized all the investors were authorizing Merkin to allocate, you know, all the assets to people like Mr. Madoff without giving them notice or obtaining their consent beforehand. And in addition, that he really did perform extensive due diligence on Madoff and his trading strategy and arranged meetings with Madoff, for many of Merkin's investors to perform their own due diligence and ask questions and find out what was going on. So they're also saying that we were duped. Merkin and his colleagues are saying that we were duped by Madoff, just like everyone else was, including the SEC in its investigation of Madoff. So we're no different. We asked a lot of questions. We looked at a lot of documents, but he fooled us.
Bill in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello. Bill, are you there? Oh, let me try clicking you like that. Now, Bill, we have you. Hi.
Good morning.
What's your question?
I'm just curious. Is this lawsuit being brought on behalf of his client, these investors, or just on behalf of the state?
Yeah, I mean, it's the state is bringing it in the hopes of collecting money that can be paid to victims, and a lot of the victims include charities. But it's basically the people of the state of New York, you know, versus J. Ezra Merkin.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. I don't know if this is a coincidence, but there was an op-ed in the New York Times last month by Daphne Merkin. Is that J. Ezra's sister?
I think you're right. I think so, yes.
Called If Looks Could Steal, and she wrote, given the demonization of Mr. Madoff and the intense sympathy for the plight of those smaller investors who trusted him, it is easy to forget that he actually did bring something to the table. Indeed, what is lost amid the fury of some of those who handed their money over to him is that theirs was a voluntary, nay, eager association. No one was holding a gun to anyone's head saying, sign up with Mr. Madoff or else. Does that serve as kind of a defense of her brother, even a few weeks before these charges came down on him?
Yeah, maybe a not so veiled defense, and I don't think that in that piece there was a disclosure by the Times of her relationship to Ezra Merkin. But I think you're right.
We would have to check that too, but maybe we can check that.
Obviously, there, all of the professional financial figures who were in Madoff's, I don't want to say inner circle, but all the people who knew him very well and had very strong professional relationships with him, people like J. Ezra Merkin, people like Walter Noel, and a lot of other executives at Fairfield Greenwich, this fund that put in about $7 billion, and other executives at other funds. I think they're all very, very worried, obviously, because this is not only could they be sued by states and sued by investors, but they could also potentially be charged criminally if anything is found. So I think they're all very worried. They're all very defensive, as you might expect. And it's going to be very interesting to see whether there are any criminal charges brought in the future against any of these people. There doesn't necessarily have to be evidence that somebody knew about alleged fraud at the Madoff firm. We saw the Madoff auditor, an outside auditing firm, and the sort of sole auditor of that firm, David Freeling, get charged a few weeks ago with criminal fraud. He was not charged by the U.S. Attorney's Office with knowing that Madoff was committing a Ponzi scheme, but he was charged with making misrepresentations to the Securities and Exchange Commission while auditing the financial statements of Madoff's firm. So it is very possible, it's a little unusual, but it's very possible that the U.S. Attorney's Office will bring criminal charges without showing that people knew exactly what Madoff was doing or not doing with the money.
By the way, the New York Times on that Daphne Merkin op-ed did have a bit of a disclosure that her sibling had done business with Madoff. The New York Times public editor or ombudsman later opined that it wasn't enough disclosure. But Dallas in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, yes, good morning. I would just think that, given the fact that Madoff apparently wasn't actually even purchasing any stock for the past X number of years, that anyone claiming to be doing due diligence is either going to be negligent or complicit. Either way, they're going to be liable to somebody.
Dallas, thank you. And since he wasn't purchasing any stock, as Dallas said, the $65 billion question, Amir, where did the money that Madoff stole go?
Well, that question has been answered, at least to a certain degree. We reported early on that the belief was that most of the money went out to investors in the form of purported gains. So, this is a Ponzi scheme, and we have to sort of remember fundamentally what a Ponzi scheme is. You have somebody who maybe had a trading strategy. It didn't work, and he lost a lot of money, and he's continuing to tell his clients that they're making a lot of money, and they're going to continue to, make redemptions and take out money from the firm. So he's got to bring in a lot of money in order to be able to pay out all the redemptions. So he paid out a lot of redemptions over the years. Obviously, he spent a lot of money on his own sort of lavish lifestyle, and we've heard all the details about jewelry and yachts and homes, and planes and so on. I think the answer is that most of it went out to other investors. Surely there are probably pockets of money located in various areas around the world, and the trustee who is now in charge of the Madoff firm, who basically took over the firm to be able to find all the money, is looking around the world for all these pockets of assets to be able to gather them and to pay the victims. But yeah, certainly I think a lot of the money is in the hands of investors who made redemptions. And we do know of plenty of examples of investors who made more than they lost. Either they made redemptions and then exited the firm, or they made redemptions over the years that outweigh the losses that they had when all this came crashing down in December.
And some of those people are being asked for some of that money back, aren't they?
That's right. They will be the trustee, this person who's been sort of given the power over the Madoff firm after the Ponzi scheme came to light. This is somebody who will go after the fictitious gains that were made by investors, people who did make more than they lost, at least within the last you know, 4 to 6 years, they will very likely be asked for a bunch of that money back. I don't think it's going to come anywhere near, you know, the amount to make up for all the losses for anyone, but it'll certainly help a little bit. And the whole point is to get that money back so that all the investors can share in the pain equally.
Right. Though it's also really sad for innocent people who were just getting whatever returns they were getting on their investments and think they can be retiring on that money or whatever, to all of a sudden have it taken from them. Just one thing, we're really out of time, but there's one thing from our conversation that's just sticking with me and I'm confused. According to the Attorney General's complaint against Merkin, starting in 2000, he secretly handed Madoff one-third of the assets from his Gabriel Capital and Ariel Fund. If that allegation is true, why would he do it secretly? Why? I mean, Madoff was considered respectable at that time. Why would he have been hiding that fact from the people who were investing his money, their money with him?
That's a great question. I think that the allegation here, and again, Merkin disputes it vehemently, is that the investors, some of the investors, remember he had three funds. One of the funds was completely, you know, all into Madoff. The other two, I think, were very partially into Madoff. And I think the one that you're talking about, one-third of it went to Madoff. And the issue is whether he gave his investors notice that this was happening and whether he needed to give them notice. Mm-hmm. Again, Merkin is saying, I didn't need to tell anyone, you know, where everything was going. I took in money and placed it where I saw fit. So,
and he's saying that's just not the way things were done, that I broke it down to that degree or that the industry does. That's his defense. Correct?
That's his defense. And again, yeah, you know, the Attorney General is using the word secretly, and I think Merkin would dispute that. But we'll see. You know, he's being looked at by the criminal authorities too, by the U.S. Attorney's Office, and we'll see where it goes.
All right. There are two sides of this. It's a civil complaint filed by the Attorney General of New York State against financier J. Ezra Merkin in conjunction with the Madoff case. Amir Afradi covering it for the Wall Street Journal. Thank you very much.
Sure thing.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and coming up in a minute, we will read the answers that you posted on our website, and we'll take your answers to these questions on the air as well now. Jews, what's the fifth Passover question for 2009? Christians, what did you give up for Lent that fits the times? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692.